Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you love us and for your wonderful blessing to us that we may have relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We ask for mercy and grace, and we ask for bountiful provision and protection as we seek to do your will, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it pretty interesting how God speaks to us? And we want to respond faithfully, but do we respond faithfully? Do we respond well? Well, sometimes we do. But I remember one day, it was close to 20 years ago, I was full of excitement for the Lord. I was waiting in line at a food stand, and I felt called to share the hope and joy of Jesus with the three people in line with me. But I was too shy. And I didn't. I regret my silence to this day. But there was something kind of special about that experience as I look back on it. As I think back, and even at the time, those three people, just kind of seemed shiny. And I wondered, as time went on, if those three people were really angels. And of course, I don't know, but the experience did feel kind of large. And so it has made me wonder about it ever since. So, since that time, I have felt regret that I did not share Jesus. And this has made me want to share Jesus and not miss an opportunity to share Jesus. Today, I have increased my sensitivity to when and how to share Jesus. And I also, my sensitivity to listen to God has increased, and I want to say, yes, Lord. Let's all say, yes, Lord. Well, last week I was listening to Charles Stanley. He talked about God speaking to us, and that God may speak audibly, or God may use His Spirit to speak to our spirit. Or there can be dreams and visions, and God also speaks through the law. So, you look back in the Old Testament and you find Gideon. He was spoken to by circumstances, and Joseph had an angel speak to him. And Paul, he heard the Holy Spirit, and Paul, who was at the time Saul of Tarsus, was spoken to audibly. And I thought, as I heard about this, how Jesus, while he was on earth, he cured several blind men. And each time he did this, it was done differently. And it made me think that apparently God must not want us to seek him by using a formula. So he must want us to seek him in every way and in every circumstance. So Charles Stanley, he said that in these days, today, we are likely to hear from God through his word and through the Holy Spirit. And as we live a submitted life to God's Spirit, God's Spirit can speak to us even minute by minute. And also, we can hear from God through other people, especially spirit-filled people, and through circumstances. All sorts of circumstances. Like if we are going along with a plan and something happens to change our direction, that can be God speaking to us. And we better pray and ask God, what does he have in mind for this situation? So, I liked it when Charles Stanley had to say that many times God has a plan that is much bigger than mine. And so we must be ready to listen and obey God. But make sure that it is God speaking and that you hear him and obey him. And our God, the God of the Bible, is full of goodness and righteousness, and he will never tell you to do anything bad or against goodness and morality. So if you have a question, go ahead and test the Spirit. Ask it, do you submit yourself to Jesus of Nazareth? Or you can ask, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Now, if there is something, a spirit that we are talking to, the spirit may give a bad answer or the spirit may flee. Now, I'm not an expert in this area, but I have heard that the devil has a beautiful voice and can also have an overpowering voice. Now, God can often enough have a still and quiet and pure and clean voice. What a difference. Well, in this area of discussion, I think it's really good to look at, but there will be other people who have more experience than I have to look at it. But it's good to look at all the different areas. Well, but please don't ever think that God would have you to do something that was wrong behavior, a wrong action. Like God would never tell you to kill someone. Nope. Oh, well, there was a time in the Old Testament that God did say to kill certain people, told the Hebrews that. But at that time, it was a special time, and those tribes that they were eliminating had a bloodline from the giants. Anyway, that's the best thought available at this time. And their human bloodline was very small. So I know that the idea is that we don't kill and we don't do evil to other people. That's God's will. That's as far as I can tell it is. Yep. And I know that we do not have a perfect answer to this. And certainly there's no kind of like video evidence that that's how it was. But there are indicators, writings, that say that this is true. Today, we are also in a battle, but it's a spiritual battle. So much of the things that we face today have spiritual roots. And let me go back to Charles Stanley one more time, and he says that we fight our battles best on our knees in prayer. And so, yes, I want to say yes. Well, today, there are a lot of things around us that want to harm us and that want to distract us from paying attention to God. And not only are there the little concerns like daily living or like a personal relationship or some circumstance, like we've had the fires lately. These are all distractions, and the devil will use anything that there is to take the attention away from things of God, things of the Bible. And I think of Ephesians 6 and 12, which describes our battle as being against the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness. Now, I don't mean to minimize the physical threats that we might have and the concerns that we might have in life. I just mean to say that the roots of our physical concerns and dangers in life often come out of the spiritual battles which we face. Last week on this broadcast, I mentioned China and Russia and how they were ready to be real adversaries to our nation, and how they both were moving towards war with the United States of America. Both of those countries were. China spoke as that warning, and Russia spoke it also, the heads of those countries. And Russia was talking about their hypersonic cruise missiles and weapons, and how President Putin described how the United States could be attacked and overpowered. And it was so interesting to me that the representatives in Russia, the Duma, they clapped loudly when he spoke like that. So he has a lot of support in his own government. And how the leader of China, Xi Jinping, told his military to prepare to die for the honor of China. There's also North Korea, and they have the media over there that shows their small nation would attack the United States with a nuclear bomb. So that was what I talked about a little bit in last week's broadcast. And I did not expect that this week, each of these people that had spoken up again, and they threatened war with the United States again. Apparently, those countries view the United States as having a good military, but that the United States people are viewed as not having the fortitude to fight for their nation or their freedom. And if you look at the incidents that the United States Navy ships have had, for instance, in the last year, on the seas around Asia, it surely does appear that our U.S. Navy could easily be defeated. I don't know the answer to this one, but it sure, I can see where there's questions raised. Last week, China's president for life, Xi Jinping, urgently warned his army to prepare for war in 2019. And then also in this last week, the Russian president, Putin, warned his country to prepare for war. And you know the North Korean leader, Kim, he simply continues his theme for war with the United States. So, what is rhetoric and what is real? Well, we can see what might happen if we combine the rhetoric spoken by the foreign politicians with scripture, like in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that we should be preparing also for the events of the last days, the end of the age. And that includes war, that includes famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and more. You see, we have been warned. There are warnings. But what are we doing about it? How are you getting prepared? Will it happen? Surely it will happen because the Bible foretells it. Now, we don't know when, but it seems as though these things are going to happen at some point in the future. So think, plan, and do. I know I remember there was that American general, MacArthur, who said his opinion, and that many military people had the opinion, that war is hell. And often in a war, all of the good stuff gets rationed, just like it was in World War II America. There were ration cards for meat, for butter, for sugar, and for gasoline. Yeah, it was not an easy time for the citizens of the United States during World War II. I know I had a retired buddy from the military, and his dad also was. His dad was in the Korean War. And his dad won't hardly talk about it, like so many of the military people won't, but he had an experience of going into a battle with 500 men, and only two of them came out alive and still walking. He was one of them. But it just makes me think of war is hell, and are we prepared to value our freedom and our independence to such a degree that we would fight for it? And there's also another part of this, and that is there's the deep state that is something, and even if we're not quite sure what it is, I've heard it said that in the opinion about the deep state, that they are trying more and more to control America and Americans. And if they cannot control America and Americans, it would be fine with them to let America burn up, be destroyed. And I would not be surprised if that was the attitude of the devil about America either. Because there's always been forces at work in America and in the rest of the world that there's a good force and there's bad force, good and evil. And that's the way it is today. It's the way it always has been. And yet we have to recognize that there's certain principles at work here. And one of them is that a house divided against itself shall not stand. Yeah, Jesus said that in Matthew 12. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Well, lots of people have recognized this philosophy. Politicians in the past have, and theologians have also. Lots of them. President Lincoln said it, and St. Augustine said it, and so did many, many others. A house divided against itself shall not stand. And look at our government today. Look at our citizenry today. It's divided. So many people are unwilling to find a middle ground and to find a place where they can compromise. Not compromise on their important values, just to compromise on getting things done. So, some months back, I told a true story about a woman who was about age 70. She had been friends with another lady since grammar school. And they often disagreed about social and political issues, but they were always friends. And that is just the way it was, and it was okay. They disagreed a lot about a lot of things. Until they disagreed about President Trump. One supported President Trump and the other opposed President Trump. And the friend who opposed President Trump cut off that friendship that had lasted about 60 years, and would no longer talk to her friend, her ex-friend, who supported Trump. So is that the state that we are in today? Is that the conditions? It is a sad statement to make that these things are going on today. Yes, a 60-year friendship gone over such a matter. But it's an illustration of what is going on in our nation today. These things are going on. There are great divisions. There's not an ability to come together for a greater principle. There are areas, divisions in every area, economics and race and religion, and attitude is a big one too. Is our attitude to get along, or is our attitude that we will separate? Well, it's not a good thing. And our nation is in great danger now because our nation is divided. And I think the biggest division is not honoring God. That, in fact, is what I think will be a downfall. That we are removing God from and the Bible from government buildings and courts and schools and the public squares, and our monuments. I think we are on a dangerous path. And what can we do about it? We can acknowledge God in our conversation. We can tell someone who uses the name of God in vain that it hurts our faith and our sensitivity when they do that. The way that I see it is that without God, our nation cannot remain a nation. And a few minutes ago, I spoke about Russia and China, that they were expecting a war in the near future. And why not? Why not a war in 2019? Because right about now, Russia has an advantage because it has its hypersonic weapons ready to be deployed. And this is months ahead of the United States' ability to deploy those hypersonic weapons. And because China has a good-sized army right now, and the population of China is getting older, and the military-aged men are better soldiers when they're younger. So there's kind of an opportunity for those who would oppose the United States to have a big war anytime now. Is that 2019? Well, I don't mean to make that prediction, but I just mean there's a window of opportunity for all sorts of things. And it's so possible and even likely that nothing will happen, but I think that it's always good to look at what might happen and to be prepared for it. So, we do have an opportunity for a war. Opportunity. I mean, it may happen. I certainly don't know the future. I certainly do not know the timing of events. But you can look at yourself at the possibilities. You yourself can look at what is sensible for you to do and as a way of preparation. Well, what would you do if your comfort and your livelihood was threatened? What would you do? I think the best thing is to pray. But of course, we have the basic needs that everyone has, and that's food. And I advocate having food around. And most of us cannot afford the MREs and the dehydrated foods, which are just great, but they're expensive. And I think of the basic foods, which are grain, sugar, salt, and oil, and a cast iron cook pot with a lid, and a manual wheat grinder. So then add spices and flavorings, all that you want. There really is no limit to what you can add to your list. It's just based on your plans and your experience and your budget. Of course, I do have my preparedness pamphlet, which I send out free to anyone who writes me with a self-addressed stamped envelope. I just wonder what's going to be coming our way. Our government people in the past have said that everyone should have a 3-day supply of food and water. And then there were emergency people who said everyone should have a 2-week supply of food and water. And now, last month, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council said, and they said it in conjunction with Homeland Security, they said everyone should have a 6-month supply of food. And don't forget the water, or at least have a way to make your water drinkable, like with a filter. Can you even imagine what they see is coming that they would say everyone should have a 6-month supply of food? How could anyone say such a thing? I just have to wonder about it. Does this mean that they see some kind of a war event is coming? Do they see that some kind of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, is coming? Now, I do always remember that North Korea has 2 satellites which pass over the United States every day. Those 2 satellites were launched in secret, and it is possible that those two satellites have an EMP weapon on board them. There's lots of questions and not many answers, but there are indicators for what is coming. We just don't know when. You can look at Matthew chapter 24. You can look at Revelation chapter 18. And then look at the people who in the last 20 years, more or less, have said that they have a word from God. Now, I know I have a hard time believing people when they speak about modern prophecy. But I try to look closely at the consistent themes that they present. And there is a consistent theme. They warn of a war. They warn of dangers for the American people. And that America could burn or something like that. And you have to wonder who would say such a thing. And so I'm going to think about those people who have said those things. There's been David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, Henry Groover, and the people with similar themes like Chuck Young Grant and Ken Peters. So maybe we are being warned, and maybe, well, I don't know. It's just reasonable, I think, to pay attention. It's not quite that I believe everybody, but I realize that there can be truth to what they're saying, especially when the themes are consistent. So there are people, and there are events that are going on. Now, one of the events that has gone on so recently is the Paradise Camp fire. I think of that because there were 50,000 people who went to bed comfortably one night, and the next night there were 50,000 people who did not know where they were going to sleep. Could something like this happen to any one of us? Of course it could. Things happen. So I like to think of our basic needs, which are clean water, enough food, staying warm, and staying safe. And there's things we can do, each one of us, to promote that goal. And yes, it could happen to any one of us, anything like this. I think of the threat of an EMP weapon or even a coronal mass ejection from the sun. And we could have our nation in a really difficult position, our whole nation. And we have to remember what does protect us. Too many people think that our own strength and determination protects us. While that's a good part of what is needed, it is not what protects us. It is God, the God of the Bible, and our reliance upon Him and our obedience to Him. That makes us protected. God is our protection. So let us remember to thank Him for all that He has provided, for all that He has protected us from. The way that I see it is that pretty much He does not protect us, He does not provide us with a box of food all prepared, but He does provide us with the ability to get that food. Just like He doesn't provide us with a home all built and everything and the PG&E bill paid. But He provides for us the things that we need to get what we need to live. And we participate by our own work and our own efforts. That's how I view it. Let me go back to the fire in paradise for a moment. I've heard a lot of people say, "My supplies didn't do me any good. They all got burned up in the fire." Yes, that's true. But there sure were a lot of people in the area around Chico who had extra, and they shared their extra things with the people from Paradise area. Having supplies is a good thing. Sharing your supplies is a good thing. Those supplies can help a lot of people. And while it might not work out the way you think it will work out, it still is a help for so many people. And then I go back to the recommendations by that President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council in cooperation with Homeland Security, how they said everyone should have a 6-month food supply on hand. I just wonder about that. 6-month food supply. And don't forget the water, by the way. You have to have clean water or a filter for your water. The water in paradise still is not fit to drink. That's what they say. I wonder about it, but that is what they say. Yep, I wonder about that President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. How did they come up with those recommendations? That everybody should have a 6-month food supply. What do they see in the future that we do not? I know for me, I've seen the possibilities of a natural disaster, like an earthquake or a volcano affecting our lives of everybody, or of lots of people. And this could happen any time. I also see the real possibilities of a financial crisis or a financial collapse. Yeah, and I see the real possibilities of a coronal mass ejection hitting Earth, because it did in 1859, the Carrington effect, and there have been other ones that have hit the Earth in a limited scope also. And then there's the possibility of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, hitting our nation. All these are real possibilities. And then we hear from food experts who warn us about a bug or a blight or something hitting our single food variety. The food that we have is single varieties of potatoes, single varieties of wheat. And if one insect or bug was to get into those foods, then it'd go all across all of our food, and we would be in danger of famine. The possibilities abound of what could happen. We don't want our attention to be focused on the bad things that could happen, but we also don't want to ignore them. All these things are possible, and there are so few people that are addressing these seriously bad things that could happen. So I talk about them, don't you know? I think there's a few people talking about them, and I think it needs to be examined. That's why I talk about it, because I see the real possibilities in history and human experience. They're real. They could happen. Now, of course, we always have the hope of Jesus Christ. Yes, look at history. Look at the peoples who have had that hope. Jews have had that hope in God, Christians in Christ. But still there was suffering. Still there was uncertainties. And persecutions happened also. There were lots of persecuted people then, and in the recent history too. We can see that. Do you remember that looking back a few years, there was ISIS who beheaded those Coptic Christians at the edge of the sea? Do you remember those ISIS people wore black and those Christians wore orange clothing put on them? It was a terrible event, a mass beheading. To me, it illustrated that the Christians have a hope in the future and in the life to come. I know that there were interviews done of the family members of those men that were killed by the sea, and those families recognized how those men stood up for Jesus, and it was a good thing. Our hope is not in this life, but it is in the life to come. If you look at the books of the Christian martyrs, they knew this. They knew it so very well. Why don't we? Don't we recognize that it is the life to come that is so very important? Well, this is the way I believe, and I see all the reasons for being prepared for the life to come and also for this life, so that we don't suffer in this life. We want to have food. We want to share it with other people. We want to have food for our family. And I don't want people to go through hard times, and I don't want people to go hungry. But it can happen, even in the United States. The world has used food as a weapon in many parts of the world. Food is withheld, and people starve to death. It is done to either eliminate people or support people. Food is used as a weapon. Could it happen here in the United States? No, it couldn't, not as the way things are now. But there is always the just-in-case situations, and those are the ones that I address. Today, food is plentiful, and when food is plentiful, that's the time to buy it, not when food is scarce. So you know, it costs us to live, and it costs us to get supplies together. But it is reassuring to have those supplies. Get some today. There's people and there's companies who put packages together of food for sale. You can look into that. It's an easy way to do it. And they're good answers. Of course, look for yourself what you want to have in the way of a food supply. Make your own list and fill in the things that are missing from that commercially available list. Get the things that are important to you. It might be certain spices, or it could be anything. Just the foods that you're used to, get them also. And of course, always remember your spiritual needs. Have Bibles and hymnals. Those are very important. Songs so often help with the good feelings and spirits of people. It raises the level of joy among people. So have hymnals. Have Bibles. In life, there's so much variety of experiences. It's hard to predict what could actually happen in the future. But if we are alive, we know that death will happen, because that's the way it's always been. And that is our biggest preparedness concern. Death. Life after death. How we want to be with Jesus in heaven and not that other place. So stay focused on Jesus and live your life here on earth in a way that it lines up with how your life in heaven would be. Praise God. Praise Jesus. I'm aware that we each have a different path that brings us to God through Jesus Christ. For some, it is easy and quick, and I'm glad for you. For others, like for me, it was a long road. I read many books, including the Bible several times, and we each have a different experience. But it takes what it takes to get to that point where you know that God is real, Jesus lived on earth, and the Bible is true. And I pray for your growing relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. The paths to God are always a little bit different. He makes them that way. He makes our path to Him individually suited to Him. It's lovely. I know for On Christ Today, I try to make each broadcast a little bit different. In the past, I've talked about different people. I've talked about Ron Wyeth, how he has discovered, he found the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. And I think that if you look up Ron Wyeth, you will find it very good. Very good. Ron Wyeth is, well, he's passed away now, but he describes what he's done and where he's been, including Noah's Ark in Turkey and the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. So look up Ron Wyeth on YouTube. These are important discoveries that should bolster your faith. It's very good. So, let's see. Another thing, I do try to have guests on too, and I talk about these things that are kind of current. A few months ago, I had an experience with my cell phone, and I discovered that lots of people who I had talked to also had an experience with their cell phones. They had had growths or cancers were where they carried their cell phones. So I want to tell you about another YouTube video by Dana Ashley titled Wireless Warfare Exposed, includes ways to protect yourself. That was done 2 months ago, and there's about 385,000 views on that. I think it's important to recognize that our cell phones are something that could bring us quite a bit of problems, and that's what this is about. This Dana Ashley YouTube video titled Wireless Warfare Exposed, and it includes ways to protect yourself. I had heard the people that she includes on that tape, but she just put things together very well. In this life, there's a lot going on, and we go through a lot in life. And I hope we can all remember the great commandments of life, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And that second commandment is that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That great commandments are in Matthew 22:37. If you read it for yourself, you'll get a little fuller version of it. So look up that great commandment. It's a good thing to remember and orient your life towards it. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a pretty big thing to do, but it would make life so much easier if we all did it. Can you imagine? Yes, think about it. It's good. It's good. There's lots of opportunities that we have to show the love of God to others. And I think it's real good to do it with wisdom. Yes, we love, but let us show our love wisely, because we don't want our kindness and our generosity to provide a way for a person to harm themselves. See, there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible, and we often have to look and study the Bible to see what is the best and the most proper way for us to do things. And it's something that as we get a little older, sometimes we can't do what we used to do. We no longer have the strength, or our bodies are a little bit weak sometimes. And so I like to encourage everybody that the one thing we can always do is pray. Pray, pray, pray. Always pray. and think about as you're going down the street and you see somebody that looks like they might need help, pray for them. If there's an ambulance going by, pray for that situation. There's just so many ways that we can pray, pray, and pray. Prayer without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's what we want to do. There's a lot of wisdom in that good book, the good book, the Bible. Yeah, and I hope you pick up that good book and read it, because that helps us, helps the Word of God get into us so that we can live the Word of God through what we say and what we do. It's God's love letters to us. It tells us how to live and how to love and how to be cautious and the things that we can do to protect ourselves as well. It's a good book. There's many examples in the Bible which show us wisdom. And one of the areas of wisdom is to have a storehouse of food. Now, we might think that things are different today than they used to be in the olden days, than in the days of ancient times. But I don't think so. Not about food, anyway. Not about a lot of things. Food has always been a necessity of life. And there have always been times of plenty and times of famine. That's just human history. You go back and you see, and all you can think about, well, I think the reasonable person sees that food is a good idea, and that the situation with food can change very quickly. Sometimes it's by a town being surrounded, that's biblical, or it could be from the loss of a job, or perhaps a volcano spewing ash into the atmosphere, and perhaps by a bug or a virus, like the one that caused the great potato famine in Ireland of the 1800s, and perhaps a new political system would make an economic change as well. See, that's another reason for a famine. That happened both in China and in Russia. So, millions of people have died from not enough food. It's happened in every country in the world, including the United States. During the Depression of the 1930s, there were millions of people who died when they didn't get enough food. These things happen. Don't be surprised, because surprises happen in life, and that's just the way that it is. But we can be prepared for surprises. And I think one of the best, just plain most obvious one, is that we need food to live. Every day we need food. Try going without food for one day and you'll see how nice it is to have food. So get some food supplies on hand. Even if they're the most basic food supplies, get some. Food is good to have. There's lots of reasons why we could have food shortages. Of course, there's transportation difficulties, there's storms, there's earthquakes, and there's human situations that happen because of food not being deliverable for one reason or another. That's happened in many nations of the world. You look at history, that's just, sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's accidental. There's many lessons from history, current history and older history and ancient history. And one of the things to me that's so obvious is that we need food. We need food every day to live. And yes, there's natural disasters. There's volcanoes. We still have the question of Yellowstone. Will that ever go off? And if it does, we would have several states with several feet of volcanic ash in them. our farming would be unavailable. So food is something that is so important, and if we just get a little bit, that's the best thing I think we can do. I like grains. I've told you that before. Grains, sugar, salt, oil, and of course vitamins, a grain grinder, manual grain grinder, because we don't know if we'll have electricity or not. There's just plenty of things that we can do now while the food resources are available. The resources are available to get what we want and what we need. So by all means, look at this situation. Look at what you just might want or need for yourself and your loved ones. Or you can look at it even wider at your community, your Christian community, your greater community. Look at what the nation needs. Always people need food, every one of us, and clean water. So for the clean water, I say water filters are the best answer, and you can choose any one you want. My preference is the big Berkey water filter, but everybody has their own decisions to make on that. There's even people who say you can make your own water filter with clay, with dirt, with gravel, and with charcoal. I've never tried it. I think it would be workable, but it just depends on what you're coming up against for what you need to clean and purify your water from. I know that, like I said, we have storms, we have earthquakes, we have fires, we have all sorts of situations that have caused people to have to go without the food and the materials that they need. All sorts of things are needed and desired. And that's just a lesson from history. It happens when there are natural disasters. It happens when there is warfare or political strife. People are viewed as, some people groups will be viewed as the enemy. And that's just the way history has shown us. There can be situations all over the place, and we don't know what will happen, and we don't know what to remember, because it's always been different. And here we can think that we Christians are not persecuted, but Christian persecution has happened all over in history, and sometimes it's been the opposite, but not usually. So we should be prepared for anything that could happen. And a lot of these things don't get remembered because people who are starved to death, they die and they don't speak anymore. So the history that we could have learned is not remembered. Historians know that history repeats. But even if it repeats, even if we have it told to us what will happen in the future, we still don't know the exact timing. Sure, look at the biblical examples. Look at what the Bible foretells will happen. But even with that, we still don't know when it will happen. And that is why I say, just get a little bit prepared. Have a few things on hand that can help you survive. Disasters happen very quickly. They can even happen overnight. We can look at that fire, and we can look at that president's council on, and it talks about having 6 months of food. For that, we can just say, yes, let's be sensible and get some extra things. It just makes sense. Situations can change overnight, and we don't know what will happen, even though we think we do. Things change. I'm always glad to have people listen to the program. I'm very glad. Thank you for your prayers also. Thank you for listening to Christ Today. And do remember that you can listen to any past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is lowercase with no spaces. If you don't do it quite that way, another website comes up. And I'll be glad to send you my preparedness brochure if you would send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I will send that right back to you. So until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.